Yes. So, thank you for the opportunity to talk about my work. I will talk about a recent paper with Marcos Marinho and Pavel Putrov, his student, a little bit about an earlier paper with Diego Trancanelli and a lot of work of other people, especially Kapustin, Willett, and Yaakov on localization of three-dimensional theories, and a previous paper of Marinho and his student. So let me start by putting it somehow in a context related this problem in a context related to this workshop. So I'm going to study a 3D theory, which is Chern-Simons. Plus matter, a supersymmetric theory, which is not topological. But we are talking here about Langlands programs, n equals 4 or n equal 2 theories in 4 dimensions. So how do I get to 3 dimensions? So I'll give you a few reasons why we should also think about 3 dimensions. So in 4D, we have n equals 4 super young males. That's a very nice theory. We all love it. In 6D, we have a theory that can go by the name n equal 2 comma 0, which has been hiding behind everything we've been talking about the past 2 weeks. Also a mysterious theory. We know that if we dimensionally reduce it, we can get four-dimensional theory with n equal 2. We can also dimensionally reduce it to four-dimensional theory with n equals 4. So that was 4 dimension, 6 dimension. There is also a theory in 3 dimensions with n equals 8, which is also somehow mysterious. Or at least it was until recently. There is a larger class of theories in 3-dimensional with n equals 6, which is what I'm going to talk about mainly. And then there are theories in 3 dimensions with n equal 2 or 4. There are actually many of those. So one way to get these theories is from brains. These are gauge theory or CFTs. So this is D3 brains in flat space, 3, 1. This is M5 brains. R5, 1. These theories, the way we got them here was by considering M5 brains on some Riemann surface inside some space. This theory comes from considering M2 brains on R2, 1 cross R8, and this is M2 brains 1, R2, comma 1 cross R8 mod ZK. The last class arises in several different ways. One way is to consider M5 brains on a three-dimensional manifold. So here we were concerned with mainly with M5 brains compactified on a two-dimensional manifold across a four-dimensional manifold, usually R4, but you can also compactify the M5 brain on a three-dimensional manifold, and this will give you some, instead of this game between a two-dimensional CFT and a four-dimensional CFT, you could get a game between two three-dimensional CFTs. So this is the brain picture, and then we can take the brains and study the dual geometry to them. So that's ADS-like geometries. So now we have gravity theories that will describe these conformal field theories at strong coupling. Here we have ADS-5 cross S-5. 2B string theory. Here we have M theory on ADS7 cross S4. In this case, we also have M theory on a space that Dave, types of spaces that Dave discussed last week, which have ADS5 factors. It's a warped product of ADS5 and some other stuff. In this case, you get M theory on ADS4 cross 7. Now here, you get the orbifold of that, so you either get M theory on S7 mod ZK, or if K is large enough, after orbifolding, you lose a dimension and you get 2A on ADS4 cos P3. And well, here I didn't tell you what the theory is, so I'm not going to tell you what the gravity dual is. So these are families of theories that have all kinds of connections between them, and they're all quite interesting for us. So let's go back to the 4D n equal 2 theories. And in these theories, what we've been discussing is the calculation of certain quantities, BPS observables. So in particular, we studied the partition function on S4. We talked about Wilson loops. Also, on S4, and we talked about a few other things like the Nekrasov partition functions and at Hoft loops. One can talk about domain walls and a few other things. In particular, the partition function can be written as integral very schematically. Where this morning this alpha was called A, when we have one gauge group, SU2, it's a single parameter, otherwise it belongs to the algebra, whatever that is, and M are the mass parameters, and this F are the conformal blocks, or Liouville, which we know now are the Nekrasov partition functions, including the instanton, one loop, and classical pieces. The expectation value of a Wilson loop is given by the same expression with an insertion of something of this form and some representation. It's called off. No. Now, since alpha are really parameterized matrices, if we have a gauge group with one gauge group or more gauge group, we can really view this as a matrix model. This is an integral over matrices or over their eigenvalues. This is some measure involving interactions maybe between different matrices if we had different gauge groups. And this is a trace of the exponent of a certain matrix. So when we write Liouville or Toda theory in this bootstrap approach, it's really can be thought of as a very complicated matrix model. But there is a very simple case when we reduce, when we go to n equals 4 super young Mills, because then the one loop and the instanton piece are trivial, and we get that F is just equal to the classical piece, e to the minus 1 over g squared trace of alpha squared. And here I take the measure to be the usual Haar measure on the group. So the partition function will be integral d alpha, the van der Monde, and e minus 2 over g squared trace alpha squared. And the expectation value of the Wilson loop is going to be integral of the same thing, trace e to the alpha. So this is really some old things that motivated Pestun to study the case of n equal 2, where he got these results, which were then reinterpreted by AGT. But we can do something very simple with this. This is a very simple matrix model, and we can take the large n limit . Then we know that the eigenvalues of alpha, the matrix alpha, will condense into a cut, and they will follow the Wigner distribution, the semicircle law. So rho of alpha in the planar limit is equal to 2 over pi lambda. And the expectation value of the Wilson loop is the integral over this measure for the fundamental e to the alpha. And this is just a Bessel function . So this is the result for the planar Wilson loop for n equals 4 theory. It's very simple. You can calculate all the 1 over n corrections and stuff like that if you want. But now, this was derived in the gauge theory on this side of the blackboard. You want to compare it to a result derived here from ADS. So you can take this result and take lambda to infinity. I1 is a Bessel function, a modified Bessel function, so it behaves like an exponent. So you get that W goes to e to the square root of lambda. So this is the gauge theory prediction for the behavior at strong coupling. And now you can do it in a string theory. So if you haven't seen this calculation, this is how we calculate in the ADS CFT correspondence. So here we have ADS 5, which I will take it to be Euclidean. So it's a five-dimensional hyperbolic plane. I can draw it as the Poincaré disk. We think of the gauge theory degrees of freedom as if they're living on the boundary. And so we have here a circle. I didn't mention this Wilson loop is always a circle. And we look for a string which is a minimal surface. So you're all familiar with a picture of geodesics inside a hyperbolic space. There's a similar calculation to calculate minimal area surfaces. And the classical action for this solution is the area divided by 2 pi alpha prime, which turns out to be r squared over 2 pi alpha prime, where r is the radius of curvature of ADS. The calculation diverges like the circumference of the loop divided by some cutoff. And then there is a finite piece, which is 2 pi. So for us, it just means that it's minus r squared over alpha prime, which under the ADS CFT duality is mapped to minus square root of lambda, which tells you that the expectation value of the Wilson loop in ADS goes e to the minus s classical e to the square root of lambda. So there is an agreement between the gauge theory calculation, which is the extension of what we've been talking about here for the past 2 weeks, to large n for n equals 4, and the supergravity calculation in ADS 5 cross S 5. Now, it would be interesting to extend these large n results also to theories with n equal 2 supersymmetry, but it's actually hard, because then you have these conformal blocks or other factors that you have to worry about, and they don't have a very simple, or we don't know their large n behavior. Do we know what about the gravity? Yes, we do. It It does change because the geometry is not ADS5, but it's ADS5 times the Riemann surface times things. The result is effectively that the tension here gets modified by some parameter on the Riemann surface, which is the length of the geodesic on the Riemann surface. So in general, you can calculate a Wilson loop or a Nethoft loop, and the classification is in terms of curves on the Riemann surface. For n equal 2, it's non-intersecting curves. For large n, it's arbitrary curves. So you multiply here by the length of the geodesic on the Riemann surface when you give it the hyperbolic metric. So we do want to do these calculations in other series, and in particular in these kinds of theories, the three-dimensional theories. And as I said, part of the reason we want to understand them is because they come from M2 brains. They're sort of similarly mysterious, not as mysterious as the theory of the M5 brain, but they are related to M theory. So these theories are interesting. If we think about this six-dimensional theory, I said we can compactify it on a three-manifold, we'll get three-dimensional theories. There's another way that three-dimensional theories with n equal 2 or n equal 4 supersymmetry arise, and that is if we take the four-dimensional theories, either with n equals 4 or n equal 2, and add domain walls or boundaries. So then, too, we will get three-dimensional theories with supersymmetry if we do things correctly. And these might be cases we also want to calculate. So actually, let me stay with a rather generic three-dimensional theory and review the work of Kapustin, Willett, and Yaakov on localization in these theories. So we have a three-dimensional theory which is conformal, so there's going to be a vector multiplet with, I'm assuming, n equal 2 supersymmetry. So I'm not including a Young-Mills piece, I'm including a Chern-Simons piece in the action. So I'm taking S to be K over 4 pi. Trace A bridge TA plus 2/3. A cubed, and then the supersymmetric completion of this is there are fermions and a Dirac lambda. And there is an auxiliary field D, and there is a sigma, which is also sort of an auxiliary field. And then if I have matter, it will have an action this is the conformal coupling if it's on the sphere. Then there is F dagger F, the auxiliary boson, and there is the coupling to sigma, phi dagger, sigma squared phi, and then there are fermions. So this is the theory, and then what you do, like Vasilis told us, you choose a supercharge Q, which will be a symmetry, one of the generators of the superconformal transformations. And you assume that Q squared is a rotation. So we're going to do equivariant localization. And you modify the action by a Q exact term. Then you take T to be very large, and you solve for the saddle points of this Q exact term, and any calculation that you do of a quantity which is Q closed will be given by just by the saddle point, by the localized theory. I don't think it. I'm not sure. So the saddle points, the localization locus, given by this trivial connection, and D equals minus sigma equals a constant. So this is very similar to the case in four dimensions, where also we had the scalar field being a constant. The gauge field, or the field strength there, was usually zero, except at the north and south pole, where there was contributions from instantons. In this case, this rotation that appears here is a rotation that has no fixed points on S3. So there are no places where you could have instantons in anyhow in three dimensions. There are no instantons. Oh, there are monopoles, but I choose that particular rotation. Now, this hasn't been done to try to take a different rotation. So you could take a rotation which has fixed points, and then you could have more observables that you might be able to calculate by localization, but that hasn't been done. For this Q, the operators that are invariant under it will have to have this symmetry, which means they're either the entire S3 or they are line operators. The line operators are Wilson loops, which I will describe in a second. And there could also be one-dimensional defects, which are the analog of surface operators in four dimensions. So there are co-dimension two defects, and they also exist in the theory, but have been less studied. So what is the result of the calculation? The partition function on S3, after you sum over all the you have to calculate the fluctuation determinant around this saddle point. So I'm you integrate over the eigenvalues of the scalar sigma, which I will call mu, then you have the classical action coming from this piece minus k. And then there are determinant factors. So the vector multiplet contributes a factor of 2 sinh mu I minus mu j over 2 squared. And then if there are hypermultiplets or chiral multiplets, if there are matter fields, you need to multiply by 1 over the determinant of cosh sigma. The determinant in some representation, assuming you have matter in a self-conjugate representation, S plus S bar. If the matter is in other representations, it's more complicated, but this is the case that we need. And as we are used to, the expectation value of the Wilson loop is the integral. Everything here, and then a trace of this matrix in some representation. It's everything squared, including the 2, yes. So this is like a Wick rotated unitary measure. I didn't say what the Wilson loop is. The natural Wilson loop in these theories, which preserves half of the supersymmetries, is very similar to the case in n equals 4. A trace in some representation, path ordered exponential, integral over closed curve, I a mu x mu dot plus x dot times sigma. So I can finally tell you the theory that we're interested in. It's the ABJM model, Aharoni, Bergman, Jeffries, and Maldacena. That's the theory in 3 dimensions, will n equal 6 supersymmetry. In the case when the level is k is equal to 1 or 2, the supersymmetry should be enhanced to n equals 8. And it's a U N1 cross U N2 gauge symmetry, and the Chern-Simons levels are going to be K and minus K, and then there is matter in the N1 N2 bar. By fundamental representations and 4 complex fields and the complex conjugates. So it's non-trivial that this choice gives an enlargement to n equals 6 supersymmetry, but this is true. And I'm not going to show it. And this has the gravity dual. So the gravity dual in that case is type 2a on ADS4 cross CP3. And if you calculate a Wilson loop, you're going to do exactly the same calculation as before, only in H4. And the result will be exactly the same thing, only that the definition of what R is in terms of the gauge coupling is slightly different. So the answer is minus pi square root of 2 lambda. I didn't say what lambda here is. There is lambda 1, which is n1 over k, lambda 2 is n2 over k, and when I say lambda, I mean that n1 is equal to n2 or is not very different. So this is the answer from string theory, and what we really want to get is the result, the same result from the field theory, which is rather non-trivial. There is another calculation that we can do here in ADS, which we couldn't do in ADS5. So you can calculate the partition function, or somewhat more interesting than in ADS5. So here I calculated only the Wilson loop. I could calculate also the partition function. In the case of ADS5, I cannot get a finite answer. I have a four-dimensional theory which has an anomaly, so the quantity that I would calculate is the anomaly, which in principle should be calculated for all these n equal 2 theories. If I consider the three-dimensional theory, then there is actually a number to calculate in the partition function, which is non-trivial. And so from gravity, I can calculate the partition function on S3, which will be equal to e to the minus s sugra. And well, this action is equal. The Newton constant, and then I'm doing a dimensional reduction to four dimensions. Contribution of the sphere and the four forms is in the cosmological constant. The result will be proportional to the volume of ADS4, which diverges, but I can throw away the divergent parts and end up with a finite piece. If I was doing ADS5, I would not end up with a finite piece. I would end up with a logarithmic divergence. This is equal to minus square root of 2 pi over 3 square root of k n to the 3/2 once I exchanged a g Newton and the radius and all that with the gauge theory parameters. So this is the n to the 3/2 that we know for the theory of M2 brains. Usually we know it as the entropy, but it actually, you don't need to be at finite temperature or anything to see somehow that there are n to the 3/2 degrees of freedom in the vacuum of this theory. Yes. Okay, so we want to reproduce these results in the gauge theory, and one more ingredient that we need is the Wilson loop to say what we're calculating. So here I told you what it is in general in these kinds of theories. In the ABJM theory, there is a family of BPS loops which are very similar to that, only that we have two gauge groups. So there are Wilson loops parameterized by two representations of this group and this group, and constructed as there, and they are actually 1/6 BPS. They do not see the enhancement from n equal 2 to n equal 6, so they retain the same number of supersymmetries they had as an n equal 2 theory. And then there are the Wilson loops that Diego and I constructed, which are 1/2 BPS, and R is a representation of the supergroup. UN1/N2. So for some reason that somehow appears here. I don't know. There isn't really a gauged supergroup, but this is an extension of the gauge symmetry,
right.
Yeah. But if you take, so I expect, so these algebras will generally have half BPS line defects. Whether I can, there is a Lagrangian, whether I can write it. I haven't worked it out. I expect that a similar construction to what we did will work, at least for the standard theories of Gaiota and Witten, which do have this kind of structure. But I haven't worked through that. It's rather involved, this construction, and I won't review it today. Okay, so we want to calculate these objects, and we know how to do it because we have the localization formulas, and Kapustin already applied this expression to ABJM. So, well, let me just modify. I'll write it from the start. So the ABGN and 1 factorial and 2 factorial integral . So these are the eigenvalues of the first matrix, these are the eigenvalues of the second matrix. We have this van der Monde. And the cross term appear in the denominator. like this. And I need the classical piece. So here, G string. So there are a few mysterious things. The sign here is negative, but that comes because the level here is negative. And the cross terms appear in the denominator instead of the numerator, and the sinh is replaced by a cosh. So the first question is, why does this happen? And the answer is that if you take that this is related to supergroup transignments. So to explain it, let me start with U and 1 plus N2 transignments. Then I can use this expression without this piece, because I don't have any matter. I just take a vector multiplet. That will give me this answer. So I can write it as integral mu I, mu j, and then sinh mu I minus mu j over 2 squared sinh mu I minus mu j squared and sinh. So this actually has the larger symmetry. But then I can consider the theory instead of on S3, on a Lens space, which is the quotient. This will lead to a breaking of U N1 cross N2 to the subgroup, which I choose to be this subgroup, where in this subgroup there is a non-trivial holonomy around the non-trivial cycle on this space. There's also the effect of this is to shift nu I to nu I plus pi I. And what that does is replaces the cross term with a cosh. Lastly, what we consider is u n1 slash n2. On this space, broken to U N1 cross U N2. And the effect of that is that the cross terms are now fermionic. So instead of getting a van der Monde in the numerator, you get a van der Monde in the denominator. And it also changes the sign of one of these pieces. So this tells us what this is. This is a supergroup transignments on this Lens space where the eigenvalues are distributed, N1 of them in the trivial vacuum, N2 in the non-trivial vacuum. Of course, here, there was this. Once I chose, I mean, of course, there is complete symmetry. I didn't have to separate here into two different numbers. Here I could have chosen to break it in a way that is not the one associated to the supergroup, but this is not the thing that happened. It is broken in the same way as the supergroup. So there are, in principle, if you study this transignments theory, there are going to be other vacua where you have supergroups in each of those, but this is not what we are getting here. So this tells us this is the theory we want to solve, this Chern-Simons in this vacuum, but there is actually a simpler way to deal with the problem, and this was a trick that Marcos and Putrov said, and this is, let us work with this theory. The advantage is that this theory has been studied and solved. And then at the end of the calculation, do everything analytically in lambda 1 and lambda 2. And at the end of the calculation, take n2 to minus n2. And what you get is this. So this you can check in perturbation theory. Take this expression everywhere that you expand it perturbatively. And then you see that all the terms with n2, if you change the sign, you get exactly this expression. For example, the multiplicity of this term is n2. The multiplicity of this term is n2 squared, so it's not affected. So then you can calculate the expectation value of the Wilson loop, and then there is the 1/6 BPS Wilson loop in two representations, and that is the same integral and then trace of e to the mu, trace e to the nu. And then there is the much more natural observable, trace over this supergroup, a super trace over this supergroup. Or this is this super matrix. Okay, so I have 5 minutes to tell you about the solution to this matrix model. Have the integrals been calculated?
No.
I'll give you the exact answer.
Oh.
In the genus expansion. So it's not in this form. So this form is for finite n in principle. But what I'm going to consider is the large n solution and then expand in the genus expansion. If you sum up this genus expansion, you should get the result of each of these integrals. Whether each of these integrals on its own was calculated, I don't know, but... Yes. Yes. Well, but there is the cosh in the denominator, and there are some complications. Here, mu is real in principle. But I'm going to start now doing very abstract matrix model stuff. So whether I'm really sticking with the prescribed contour, this we'll have to worry about at the end. So how do we solve the matrix model? Well, you need to find the eigenvalue distribution or the resolvent. And the natural definition for the resolvent in this case is this thing, z plus u divided z minus u. this matrix is you. What is this capital Z? So I have two pictures of the how the eigenvalues get distributed. This is the little z plane, where the mu eigenvalues sit around the origin. And the new eigenvalues sit shifted by pi. I can transform it to capital Z equals e to the little z. And then they sit here. This cycle gets, this eigenvalues get shifted to here. So here I have A 1 over A minus 1 over B and minus B as where the cuts, that's where the cuts are. And even though I drew them as real, they will not be. If G string is real, they are real, but G string is imaginary, so the cuts are gonna move in funny ways, but it's not really important for the cat. This level. So the resolvent is known exactly at the planar level. Omega naught z is equal to 2 log 1 over 2 square root of beta square root of z plus b. Plus 1 over 2. Where beta is equal to 1 quarter a plus 1 over a plus b plus 1 over b. And we define something else we call zeta, which is equal to 1 half a plus 1 over a minus b minus 1 over b. So this is a resolvent, and you can see that it is the correct resolvent of the theory. Well, you have to check the equations of motion in the planar limit, the large end limit. And it's given by these two parameters, a and b. And in principle, now you can go ahead and calculate. So you can calculate the Wilson loop or the free energy of the theory. But then you have to know what the physical parameters of your theory are, because here I defined it in terms of a and b, and I didn't define what the Etoft couplings are. So then you need to know that the Etoft couplings, let me use a topological string notation T1 and T2, they are equal to the integrals over, what we call them, C. It's these cycles, C2, C1. 1 over 4 pi I this is the Etoft coupling. T1 plus T2, that's actually easy to calculate because that's the integral over both of these, which can be calculated at infinity, and this turns out to be e to the beta, e log beta. Then you can calculate the Wilson loop and the 1/6 BPS Wilson loop, and the fundamental representation would be exactly as I did in four dimensions with a Wigner distribution. It's going to be this. For one group or the other, if I calculate, this is the 1-6 for one group or the other. If I calculate the Wilson loop, this is actually going to be the sum of 1-6 BPS Wilson loop in the first group plus the 1-6 BPS Wilson loop in the second group, because it's just the trace, super trace of that. And that is again equal to the integral at infinity, now with the insertion of e to the z. And this turns out to be equal to zeta over 2, where zeta is this parameter. So if I define a and b, it's very easy to calculate what the total Itauft coupling is and what the half BPS Wilson loop is. But the total Itauft coupling, if we relate it to the physical parameters, lambda 1 of the theory, which is equal to n1 over k, this is equal to 2 pi I t1. Lambda 2 is equal to n2 over k, equal minus 2 pi I t2. So actually, if you wanted to take lambda 1, lambda 2 large and roughly equal, that means you're taking t to be roughly 0, beta equal 1, or order of 1. So now, the problem of solving this matrix model is really the problem of getting the map between these parameters, beta and zeta, and t1 and t2. Then there is the last integral you can calculate, which is over this cycle. It's called the D cycle. And that is related to the free energy. This is equal to df naught dt1 minus So you need to calculate this, then integrate with respect to these parameters, and you get the answer. Now, you have to do all these integrals where the resolvent is a log of something, which is not very easy. But if you differentiate it with respect to zeta and beta, so for example, dt1 d zeta, derivative of this appears now in the denominator, so this and you integrate it over a closed cycle, so this turns out to be some elliptic integral. Likewise, the derivative with respect to beta. So there is this complicated system of equations, but luckily they've been studied before. And so this is related to some topological string on a generalization of the conifold. So instead of the cotangent of S3, there is a cotangent of S3 mod Z2 that appears in stuff like that. Ooh, I'm really late. So I will not tell you anything about that. I'll just tell you that from that you know how to calculate these integrals expanded around certain points. in the moduli space, so that you can choose the case where the cuts are very, very small. So A is close to 1 and B is close to 1. If you expand all the expressions around that, you get the weak coupling expansion of the matrix model, the weak coupling expansion of ABJM, and you can do explicit calculations and match with a very little results known from ABJM at weak coupling. There is another limit where you can take A to be equal to 1 and B not 1, or the other way around. This means that T1 is 0, T2 is not 0. You reduce to the one-cut model. The one-cut model is pure Chern-Simons theory, no matter. And then you can consider perturbations that open up this cut. So you consider ABJM as a perturbation over topological Chern-Simons theory. And you can do real calculations of these quantities in that limit. And then lastly, there is the limit where the cuts are very big. T1 and T2 are very big. The relevant Calabi-Yau manifold is in a semi-classical geometric limit. And the relations are complicated but known. And this is the answer that you find. So lambda 1 is given a half b squared minus 1 quarter plus 1 over 24 plus corrections which are subleading at a strong coupling. I need the first one, sorry, plus log squared kappa over 2 minus log kappa over 2. Okay, now these are polynomially, these are Taylor theories in 1 over kappa. Kappa is the absolute value of zeta, and B is somehow the phase. So one thing you see from this is that a natural quantity at strong coupling is actually not lambda 1, but it's lambda 1 minus this. So this is equal to that because kappa is a very natural quantity at strong coupling. So we call this lambda hat. So it's some kind of shift. B is the phase. It's related to the difference. It's related to beta. It's also the phase of beta. It's related to the difference between lambda 1 and lambda 2, which in string theory is a B field. And actually, in ABJM, it's known that at strong coupling, you should take this as the curvature of space. Some combination of this. Actually, there is a correct, in ABJM, we didn't reproduce it. Instead of 124, you get this plus 1 over k squared. This is a non-planar correction to this expression. But these terms, the 1 over 24 in this term, is known that that's a shift in the solution, the supergravity solution. So this is the first thing you derive. Now you can derive the expectation value of the Wilson loop, which I told you is zeta over 2. So there is a phase, which is a framing factor. It's not really important. Otherwise, the 1/2 BPS Wilson loop is a half kappa. You solve this equation, you get something that behaves like b to the pi square root of 2 lambda hat, which was the result we calculated in gravity once we, if the same as in n equals 4, only that the curvature of space is slightly different. But in n equals 4, the exact planar result was a Bessel function, which has one growing exponent and one decreasing exponent. In this case, it's a much more complicated function, and there is a series of instanton corrections to this. Minus a 2 pi square root of 2 lambda hat times some polynomial. There's an infinite series of instanton corrections already at the planar limit. And the third thing you can calculate is this period, where you calculate the period and people know what these periods are at strong coupling, and then you need to change variables and integrate and stuff like that. And the answer that you get is that d lambda of the planar free energy goes like 2 pi cubed square root of 2 lambda. So this is actually quite natural in these Calabi-Yau calculations, that the derivative of the free energy goes like the square root, or you replace what you have here by that, or the derivative with respect to the square root is the coupling. And this tells you that F, which is equal to G string to the minus 2 times the planar free energy, this is equal to minus pi square root of 2 over 3 k squared lambda to the 3 halves, which is exactly what was the classical action in ADS. So I'm very much over time, and there are cookies waiting for us, so I'll stop here. All these quantities, there are topological string calculations that.
Exactly, I don't know which exactly the ground calculates. So, for example, for chance silence,
yes.
You calculate partitions of functions for chance silence, and as three, the same as counting instant of some companion value of S3.
Yes.
Is there any analog of this?
Yes. So, the cotangent bundle of S3 mod Z2. This is for the model, for the. This model. So everything that I did, I was doing the calculation in this model, and then here I was replacing the sign to go to the supergroup. Whether there is a direct interpretation of the supergroup calculation in topological strings, this I don't know. But all the calculations that I were doing here were based on topological string calculations that. So it's a cotangent bundle to S3 mod Z2, and then the mirror of that, and so on.